Amen. Well, again, man, I'm glad that you're here. And we've been doing a series, as you know, called The Good Book. It's on 40 of the most significant events in the Bible. I am doing something a little different. Many of you may know this, but for those of you that don't, we're actually taking this from a book called The Good Book. It was written by a guy named Darren Spoo, who's actually the pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa. It's a really good book, and I like it. The one thing that wasn't in the book, and the more I thought about it, it began to kind of like just kind of bother me. And so I thought, we're going to circle back around and talk, and that is talking about Joshua and how he took over from Moses after Moses died and what change looks like. I know for some of you, you're going through real change in here right now, or you're getting ready to enter into change, kind of a new season, kind of a different season. What do you do with that? And so we're going to talk about that because we have this picture, again, of what Joshua dealt with when that happened. So open up your Bibles, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. If you're still learning your way around your Bible, know this, that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Old Testament starts with Genesis, and Joshua is in the Old Testament. It's the sixth book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And again, Joshua was a guy that was mentored by Moses. Moses, he helped and served Moses for, you know, we think at least 40 years as Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, led them, you know, out of bondage from Egypt, which is a part of his life. So for 40 years, this was his mentor, you know, probably a father-like figure to him. And so in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the very first word is after. Everybody say after. So in other words, after something took place, this change begins for Joshua. What was the change? After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come. In other words, with this loss, there's a change getting ready to take place in your life. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. And so Joshua's getting ready to experience change, but the change that he's getting ready to experience is because it's taking place right after he experienced loss, the loss of Moses. He loses Moses, and then now he's getting ready to make this change. So number one, if you're taking notes, a part of change always has some form of loss. Always has some form of loss. You know, and sometimes when we think about change, sometimes we can be excited about the next step. Sometimes we can be hesitant. Sometimes there's an element of grief or fear or insecurity. But anytime that there's change, there's an element of loss. We're stepping away from something. We're leaving something behind us. We're letting go of something. We've lost something or something has been taken away from us. Matter of fact, that's one of the things I put about change is that change isn't always planned. Sometimes it's unexpected. You know, sometimes it's forced. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes we get to plan it. But regardless of whatever it is, there's this loss that takes place. I remember, you've heard my story before, but, many years ago, Tina and I had been married not even a year. And, man, God was doing such a work on the inside of me. And there was this huge desire to go into student ministry. And part of the challenge was I didn't know how it would happen. I wasn't really a self-promoter, and there's not anything wrong with people that, you know, that are bold and have confidence. I was just my own insecurity. And I was just like, Lord, you know, I really have this desire and I don't see how it'll happen. And so it was one of those things I prayed about, but I'm like, Lord, if this isn't of you, then you need to change my heart because I'm working at this ministry that they're so good to me and they deserve my best. They don't deserve me to just kind of go through the motions, but my heart not be engaged with it. Well, man, lo and behold, supernaturally, a door opened that I did not even know was there. I wasn't even aware of. And so God gave me an opportunity. And so we went to Clovis, New Mexico, and we were there for 17 and a half years. And it was a great place for us. Tina and I had been married less than 2 years. She was pregnant with our first son, David. And so all three of our kids were born in Clovis. And then we started at this church. It was about 150 in size, 150, 160 in size. And the pastor was just a year older than me. He and I became great friends. He's like a brother to me. And so we served together for over 17 years. And God, you know, we first started our second week there. There were only about 20 kids in the youth group. But as God began to move and things began to take place, we ended up having a youth facility. We got to a place where on Wednesday nights, often on school nights, we'd have around 400 kids. You know, there's a time or two, we did a special event, a drama, and it was so full. We had over 1,000 kids. We had to stop people at the door. It was just God's hand was just so good. You can't come in, we don't have enough room. And it was one of those kind of things. And I was just living kind of a dream. But in about 2002 or 2003, man, God began to stir up my heart and I began to long to come back home. Every time I came back home, my heart was always pulled here because this is home to me. But I'd really gotten to a place where it was kind of relentless. It was just, it wouldn't stop. It was unrelenting in what it did. And so, you know, our kids were born there. Tina had been raised in kind of a chaotic way and just had moved around a lot as a child. And she'd never lived any place as long as she lived there. Her mom had gone through some personal issues and had moved in the area and was healthier than she'd ever been in her life. And Tina had a really good relationship with her mom, was able to help her and engage with her. And our kids were just, they were thriving and doing well. And God was being good to our ministry. And I remember I began to talk to them about that. And, you know, my kids have all, you know, they've not been perfect, but they've been fairly respectful and honoring through almost all of their life. And so, but they were hesitant and resistant. They were thinking about the loss that they were going to give up. You know, and I know this with wives. I believe this. I'm okay if you disagree with me, but I genuinely believe this, that wives carry an element of weight with the family that guys don't get. I know when I would go out of town, I didn't give Tina a list. Hey, make sure the kids do this. Whenever she went out of town, she gave me a list. Don't let them stab each other. You know, I'm like, what's going on here when I'm not here is what I want. I mean, you know, don't let them burn the house down. I'm like, so grateful you're giving me these little nuggets right here, you know. But I mean, it just told me that there's this list that she carries that I as a guy didn't carry. And so we would lay in bed when I began to have this conversation. And she would ask such silly questions. How are we going to pay our bills? You know, how are we going to take care of things? I'm like, you're asking such silly questions, you know. It'll be fine, you know, that type of thing. But in all seriousness, it was a way and it was a genuine thing. And just thinking about that, you know, just my heart, again, just kind of being unsettled, just longing to be someplace else, but being in a place that at one time that I loved to be at. At one time, that place was an answer to prayer. And it wasn't because of the place that I was at that there was anything wrong with it. It was just a work that God was doing. I mean, he was unsettling me. Because change was coming. But man, the closer we got to that change happening, only did my kids realize that there would be a loss that came with it. And only did my wife realize there would be a loss. But I began to realize that too. There were friendships that would not be a part of my life daily. There was a ministry there that through sacrifice and pain and through the goodness of God had been built over time. And I was having to let go of it and trust it with somebody else. Man, just all of these things in this book called Leadership Pain, this guy put this down. He said, growth equals change. Growth equals change. Change equals loss. Loss equals pain. Growth equals pain. So part of change is it always has some form of loss. You know, for Joshua, he knew it was time for him to lead the church. It's what he'd been preparing for decades. He knew it was time when his friend was no longer around. His friend had passed. His mentor had passed. The one that he had the pleasure of serving for decades. And he's like, God's like, now it's your turn. So one of the tough things about change is that usually it's accompanied with loss. So we let go of something or we say goodbye to something or we hand something off or we lose something. Something's taken away from us or we're moved away from something. But first of all, the part of change always has some form of loss. Let's keep reading here in verse 3. It says this, God said, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you'll be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Including all the land of the Hittites. In other words, he said, no matter where you go, when you leave the familiar and go into the unfamiliar, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in every part of it. And so he went on to say, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. In other words, he was saying the secret to Moses' leadership, the thing when you step back and we're in awe about the things that happened in his leadership, had nothing to do with his gifting. God was saying it has everything to do with my presence is with him. And even though you may not have his gifts, you'll have my presence. That was the key to his leadership. He went on to say this, I will not fail you or abandon you. I'll not fail you or abandon you or leave you, man. Some people have been abandoned. When they think about change, it's like, I'm going to be abandoned again. Not by God, you won't. He won't abandon you. He won't fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. I need you to be strong, courageous. I chose to use you to do this, not Moses, as great as he was. It's your leadership that's going to take him there. Not somebody else. I'm waiting on you. I've qualified you to do this. He goes on to say, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Verse 8 says this, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. Now, that word meditate, I'd heard this before, and I looked it up again just yesterday to kind of confirm that it was accurate. That word meditate in the Hebrew literally means to mutter or to declare out loud. In other words, you know, like in God's word, mutter it, declare it over your life on a regular basis, speak it out, mutter it, ponder on it. And he said this, he said, meditate it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, in the King James, it uses the word success there. The only time in the King James version of the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, that the word success is used, and it's in Joshua 1:8. And it says, as you meditate upon the word, and meditating on it will cause you to do it, and when you do it, then you'll succeed. Now, in our Western philosophy, when we think about success, we usually apply that. We have pictures of all of these things that we own and all of this treasure that we have. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but think about what success looks like in your marriage. Some people may have those things and their marriage be a failure and they would give up all that stuff to have a successful marriage. Well, how do we do that? Meditate upon what the word says about your marriage and then do it and watch how your marriage changes. What that means is husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husbands. If both people are doing that, if they're doing that element of the word in their marriage, their marriage is a success. Raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Pray for them. Honor your parents. You know, just love people. All of those things, as you begin to do them, then you'll begin to do the word. If both people are doing it when it comes to relationships, just one doing it doesn't do it, both doing it, then you'll be a success in that area. And so he goes on to say to Joshua, meditate upon the word, ponder it. And then he said this, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. My command. In other words, it's not a suggestion what God commands. Be strong and courageous. There it is again. How many times does he say that? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when change is coming about, lean on God's presence when change is happening. First of all, know this, the change has an element of loss, but also as you're entering into change, man, lean on God's presence. Now, we have terms in church and we say things that they sound kind of cool, but we never really, you know, put into practice and say, okay, I like that, but what does that look like applied in my life? Again, going back to the time when I first went into youth ministry, I felt so inadequate. You know, I coached football on the side. My friend Keith Martin is here, and he and I, we coached some junior high ball together and some elementary age. We'd been around sports, and we both kind of had the same dad. You know, our dads were kind of blue-collar guys, and they really weren't sensitive to our temperament, were they, Keith? They really didn't care, like, hey, you know, I know that you're kind of this temperament model, so I'm going to be gentle in how I deal with you. I don't know if they knew the word gentle was in the dictionary, did they? And so, you know, we were kind of, but so on the football field, I knew how to deal with kids, but in a church, I didn't. And so I was incredibly socially awkward. You know, like on the football field, you know, if they weren't doing what I wanted, I knew what, you know, so I mean, I couldn't do it in church. Hey, where's Billy at? Well, he really upset me today, so he's doing down-ups over there in the corner. He's on 32, he's got 18 more to go. I mean, parents don't like that in church. And so, you know, I was like, you know, what do you do with that? How do you handle it? And it was because it was just so unfamiliar to me. I felt so inadequate. Can I tell you that the place where I felt so inadequate was probably the healthiest place I've ever been, because you know what my inadequacy did? It drove me into the prayer closet. It caused me to seek God. It's kind of wild shortly after I entered youth ministry, and again, just every day, like, God, I don't want to fail. This is bigger than losing a football game, and that matters to me, but I'm talking about people's spiritual lives now, man. I don't want to mess that up. And I've left a secure job, and I'm in this place. It's, you know, where I see people lose their jobs in these areas every day. I brought my family here, and I want to reach kids. I remember that I went to this place and spoke to this group of kids from this family that had been under our youth ministry in another place. And so, you know, they had a new youth minister, and they wanted me to pray over them. And I'm like, okay. And I remember when I was praying over them, this God thought came to me that, hey, dependence is a good place to be. To let them know that if they feel insecure, that being dependent upon them is a good place to be. And I felt like that God gave me a God thought that he was like, that's not just for them, it's for you too. And he just created something in me that dependence on God. And one of the things that can happen is, you know, the thing about change is that we're leaving the familiar, the thing that we've gotten accustomed to, the thing that our gifts have developed in, and we become secure in that place that one time we were insecure in. But now we're stepping into this new land, and all of a sudden those feelings of insecurity, of inadequacy show up. And the thing that they do is they drive us into God's presence. And as inadequate as we feel, as ill-equipped as we feel, we're in such a good place because I'm not leaning on my gifts. I'm not leaning on my strengths. I'm not leaning on whatever personality I may think I have or whatever intellect I may think I have or whatever resources I may think I have, because all of those things at the beginning feel so inadequate. I'm leaning on God. And as poor as I felt for that job or that moment or that season, it was such a good place for me because I was leaning on his presence. And God was saying to Joshua, you've seen all the things that Moses has done. You've watched him over 40 years. And you know, and now even though the people would criticize him and not like him, at this point they love him. And they're probably, their thoughts are, who's going to replace him? Well, I think Joshua is that guy. He can't do this. And God was like, don't be afraid. Told him that over again. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Don't be discouraged, because he knows the enemy's great tool is discouragement. Just like I was with Moses, I was with you. It wasn't Moses' personality. It wasn't his temperament. It wasn't any of those things. It was the presence of God that God used to bring the children of Israel out through Moses' leadership. He said, just like I was with him, I'll be with you. Everywhere that your foot goes, I'm going with you. Every unfamiliar place, every place that you're not accustomed to, every place that you've never been before, every place that you feel inadequate to, when you go into those places, I've not abandoned you. I'm going there with you. And that's why you can be strong and courageous, not because you're so good, but because I'm with you. And so when we enter into a new season, one of the things that we have to do is we have to lean on God's presence when change is happening. We can't rely on experience or even gifting fully because we've never been there. Matter of fact, as you read later on in Joshua, one of the things he tells him is, he said, look, let the Ark of the Covenant, which is where the presence of God was in the Old Testament, he said, let it go out in front. And he said this, he said, because you've never been this way before. And so with change, man, we just have to rely on God. We have to lean into him. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. God, I feel so inadequate. God, I finally got this last season figured out, this last place figured out, and now you're taking me out of it, or now you've moved me away from it, or it's been moved away from me. There's always loss, and that loss can create such, you know, just so, it feels like instability in our lives. It's always been this way, but it's not any. For 40 years for Joshua, it had always been this way. And now Moses is dead. Well, what happens? You're leading. I don't want to take Moses' place. I want to take the place of the guy that took Moses' place. No, you're taking Moses' place, and I'm going to be with you just like I was with him. Some of you are in the middle of change. Some of you, you see change coming and the thought of what's over there, because you know some of it, but you don't know everything that comes with it. And you're like, what do I do? You lean on God's presence. You rest on his presence. You talk to him. You make him a part of it. You share with him your feelings of inadequacy. That's what I would do. I'm like, God, I just feel so ill-equipped. I always feel like that being a student minister, you have to be the coolest guy in the world, and I'm not that. I don't have cool hair. You know, just all those kind of things. Got a cool scalp, but I didn't have cool hair, you know. And so I don't know why you're laughing. But anyway, But just all of those things that, you know, pop up in your head, and yet when we're getting ready to make change, that there's something about that as just insecure as we feel, it's such a great place to be because I'm not leaning on me. I've discovered this, that it's even a better place to be than when your gift gets developed. Because if you're not careful, you begin to lean on your gift. You spend less time with God and more time on your gift. And so we lean in whenever change takes place. We lean on God's presence when change is happening. Let's look at this last one, and we'll move on to something else after this. In verse 10, it says, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their possessions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. I want you to notice this. When he said, go through the camp and tell the people to get their possessions ready. In other words, he didn't tell them what they were supposed to take. He said, you get them ready. In other words, he was letting them know that like you have not been able to determine when you're going to cross, but here's what you can determine. It's not when you cross, but you can determine what you take with you. And that's the challenge in life is sometimes we see change coming and we can prepare. And other times change happens all at once. It's something we weren't prepared for because we didn't know what happened. So you may not always begin to pick the time that you cross into the next season of life, but you can always choose what you take with you. And so many times we get ready to make that change, we hang on to things from this season that don't belong into the next season. We hang on to hurts and wounds, and we try to carry those things with us, and they get in the way of what God has for us next. And so sometimes also, because even though it's painful in this back season, it's familiar. And so if we're not careful, that we spend so much time hanging on to and looking at our past that we never look forward to what God has for us next. And sometimes, man, we've got to receive the forgiveness of God ourselves, or we have to be willing to forgive others, or turn loose of things that have hurt us or disappointed us, or turn loose of our insecurities and our fears as this opportunity opens and we step into this next season to make sure that the things that don't belong over there that we leave on this side of that change and go over here without it. It may mean a change in title. It may mean a change in how you're viewed and all of those things. But the reality of it is, as you go into this next season, that faith looks forward. It looks forward into the next thing. It leaves behind the things that need to be left behind. It receives the forgiveness of God where it needs to receive the forgiveness of God. It extends forgiveness where it needs to extend forgiveness. I'll tell you, in my own life, one of the things I challenge with, and this is unfair, and I'm getting better at it, but I'll just tell you, I know as a pastor, it's incredibly unfair, and so I'm being very vulnerable with you. That I know in my position that God has called me to leave my hand open so that he can put in there whoever he wants to put in there and take out of there whoever he wants to take out. Because this place doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Jesus. And not just this place, but every local church is his. And sometimes he puts people here because he has something for them here, or there's something that they have that this place needs. And sometimes he takes them out of here to send them to a place that need what they have, or they have what they need. And so I have to understand that. But I will tell you, because I'm such a relational guy, sometimes it's like, but they were my friend. Why would they leave? That's unfair. And sometimes, you know, years ago, whenever Samuel, the prophet Samuel, was grieving because God had moved on from Saul to David. And finally, God looked at him. He says, you've grieved about him long enough. About that relationship. You've grieved about that long enough. It's time to move forward. And the Lord's had to do that with me sometimes. Like, you've grieved about them long enough. Your role in their life is over. Their role in your life is over. And sometimes that's not a bad thing or a negative thing. It's still painful. It's just the way it is. It's the way God's written their story. That you were just there for a season. But sometimes, man, we hang on to the grief of lost relationships, of disappointment, and we try to go into that next season instead of leaving that here. Sometimes people, before they step into marriage, it's hard for them to step into it free and with their hearts open because they're hanging on to the wounds of past relationships, the disappointments of past relationships. Can I tell you a guy that's had a lot of birthdays from that standpoint? That I look back on situations, things that I wept over yesterday, and I rejoice about today, that it's no longer that way. So you don't always get to pick where you cross, when you cross. You can always choose what you take with you. And so as we enter into change, one of the things we have to do sometimes is to say, this stays here. This stays here. I'm not taking it to this next season, this new place with me. And so number three is this, is that you may not always get to determine when you cross into a new season, but you can always choose what you take with you. I want you to do this. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. Some of you are you're in the beginning of change. Some of you, you're not there yet, but you see it. You can see it from where you are. And God's using this as a moment for you to be prepared to, yes, acknowledge some of the loss that you'll be experiencing. Not let the devil get your mind so busy with discouragement, with fear of what are you going to do now. But just turn into the presence of God. Turn towards your Father God. He loves you. He'll never abandon you. He's the one thing that's steady in every season of life. In every change, he's the consistent one. And begin to take an account and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the things that you need to let go of as you enter this next season. Let's just spend a moment with God. Father, again, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I'm just so grateful to you, Lord, for the people that you've called us together. And we're in each other's lives, Lord. It's no small thing to me. Jesus, I love this group that I get to go to church with, and I pray for every one of them. Those that have seen the change coming for a while, that they lean into your presence. They acknowledge the loss. And they leave the things behind that need to be left behind. I pray for those that unexpectedly, a change came. A change is coming. Something that they had no control over. And they've either already stepped into or they're stepping into. I pray that your presence would comfort them. And that even though it may feel like, because there's so much unknown, so much uncertainty, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Greater One, will surround their life in this season. Surround them in this moment. Help them in this moment. And give them the courage to let go of those things that they've become familiar with, that have been part of the thing that's been known to them, but it's time to let go of it. So Jesus, thank you. I'm so grateful. I pray that with each person here, that would rest upon them, that would settle upon their lives, and they would just have a sense of your presence helping them in this moment. Thank you, Lord.